Stonehenge, prehistoric monument. It's in England. It is an amazing structure. Archaeologists believe it was built anywhere from 3000 BC to 2000 BC. But why? And there's so many other ancient structures all around this planet. In a moment, Dr. Paul Burley joins us. His work, Stonehenge, As Above, So Below, and also The Sacred Sphere. We'll be back with Paul in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, you're going to enjoy the next couple hours with Dr. Paul Burley. He's a researcher of ancient and indigenous symbology. His experience includes almost 30 years as a registered engineer, environmental geologist as well, author of The Sacred Sphere. His interests include the history of architecture, engineering, space, science, technology. In 2003, he turned to intensive study of world mythology and the extensive record of pictographic and archaeological symbolism. And here he is on Coast to Coast. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well, George. It's nice to be here with you.
You too, my friend. Stonehenge, it's a fascinating place. I've never been. What do you think of it?
It is very, very sacred. You can feel it in the air. You can feel the history, the prehistory, the thousands of years of activity going on there before Stonehenge was even constructed, right there before you. Now, I'm an engineer and a geologist, and I've held thousands of stones in my hand over the years. But when I first went to Stonehenge and had an opportunity to get in amongst those stones, and people were talking about feeling the energy, I kind of questioned that. But I put my hand up within a quarter inch or so of the stones, and I could feel the energy between my hand and the stones. It was a very prickly. It was very unnerving, but there's something very special about that place.
Is the energy based on the location or the way they put the structures together? What do you think is causing it?
I don't know specifically. There are ideas of energy lines passing through Stonehenge and really around the world at certain locations. So there may be something to that. I can't discount it because I'm feeling those energies as well. But I don't delve into that side of Stonehenge. But I have to admit that there is something going on there that is very special, that seems to have been recognized many thousands of years ago and is still present for us to interact with today.
Paul, did the ancients build these structures for themselves or for us?
Well, in the case of Stonehenge, just like the pyramids in Egypt, or pyramids around the world, really, they're constructed of stone that is extremely hard, very durable. And these structures were constructed. It was very difficult to construct them, but I believe that these people had the will to do that. We no longer have that will, and so we have a hard time figuring out how these structures were constructed. But they had the will to do that, and they knew that they needed to use very durable materials because they wanted these structures to last for eternity, because they're representing very eternal concepts, specifically the cycle of life, of birth, life, death, and rebirth. The important part there is the rebirth, the resurrection, the reincarnation, the idea that life continues on forever. And so the structures are meant to represent that and therefore constructed to last, many, many thousands of years.
Yeah, every culture seems to have concentrated on this rebirth. They all believed in it, didn't they?
They did, and of course, people believe in it today. Virtually every religion, world religion, or minor religions, or people that were just living in small tribes in Southeast Asia that were only just discovered back in the 70s and 80s, if you remember that. These people are, many of them are living in a Neolithic culture. In other words, agriculture has just come upon them relatively recently. They're still using stones. They're not using metal. It's a very Neolithic, new Stone Age culture, just as the people at Stonehenge were living at the time, about 4,500 to 5,500 years ago. And curiously, these cultures that have the Neolithic technology and the beginning of agriculture all appear to have very similar understandings of where life comes from and where it returns to, and bringing together the cosmos, which is representing the spirit or the source of life, and Mother Earth, which is representing the body, where the body comes from. And that's right. We're made of star stuff. The Earth is made of star stuff, and we're made of the Earth. So, you know, the body is coming from there, but there is this understanding, this, I would call it knowledge. People knew that life came from outer space somewhere. And it's very curious, but they all seem to recognize that and point to the same location in the cosmos for where that spirit is derived.
Paul, tell me how you got involved in studying Stonehenge.
Well, back in 2003, I was with some buddies. We were hiking to the top of a mountain in the Bighorn Range of Wyoming, and I chanced upon a Native American medicine wheel the night before we were going to get to the top of the Cloud Peak. This is in the Bighorn Mountains, and this medicine wheel, composed of boulders and cobbles, it's a circle about 7 feet in diameter. It's a perfect circle, and then the circle's cut up into 8 sections of pie. And then there's a cairn of stones about a foot and a half high in the middle of this structure. And this is at an elevation of over 10,000 feet, higher than any other similar structure's ever been encountered. So I reported it to the state of Wyoming because I was concerned about Boy Scouts coming along and ruining it potentially, because it wasn't too far off the trail up to the top of the mountain. And I was curious about who built it, when, why would they build it at such a difficult location to get to, and also specifically, what was the symbolism of the circle? The circle seems to come up often many, many times around the world throughout time in many cultures. What does it represent? So I was very curious about that. And make a long story short then, after writing a book, The Sacred Sphere, that explains what the circle represents in all of these ancient indigenous cultures, I decided that the next book I write will address a very specific example of what the circle represents. And that's why I decided to study Stonehenge further and write a book on Stonehenge. Little did I know that the book just morphed into something much more incredible than just discussing essentially what a circle representing a sphere and what that means from a sacred standpoint. It just it blew me away as I was doing my analysis.
Now, let's talk about this sacred sphere, this symbol. How did they conceive of this?
Well, first of all, the circle, many people think of the medicine wheel with a circle and a cross through it, so you have four pieces of pie, and so there are four directions and four colors and four animals and four characteristics of people and so forth associated with that structure. What people generally do not realize, because it's not told, you're not told this anywhere, is that this two-dimensional circle is representing a three-dimensional structure, that of the sphere. And when you look at the sphere from a more of a geometrical polygonal structure, three-dimensional, it actually has a certain number of faces on it, so it's not just a sphere, a round sphere. But in general, we're talking about a spherical shape. Now, Stonehenge is made up of circles within circles. The pyramids, if we look at the Great Pyramid, that's not a circle at all. But for, as you're probably aware, the dimensions of that structure are telling you that it's representing a sphere, or at least a hemisphere. It is the top part of a sphere. And so that top part is representing the cosmos. Underneath it, then, is a pyramid pointing down. Now, it's not actually constructed, but you can envision that as part of Mother Earth pointing down. So, you have the cosmos and Mother Earth below. So these circles are representing the universe around us, and the Earth upon which we walk and which is below us. And so all of these sacred symbols, all of these sacred circles, are representing a spherical structure that it's representing, for example, myself in the center with my heart and my body surrounding it, or the Earth and the universe surrounding it. It's basically showing someone centered and the experience that someone's having throughout their life, the cosmos around them, all around them. So that's the basic understanding of the circle, and then it's a matter of what it's applying to. But that is that's the basics for these sacred circular symbols, whether they're mandalas or the Great Pyramid or Stonehenge or this medicine wheel that I came upon in Wyoming. They're all representing the same thing, this idea of being within the center of the world around you.
The research that you did when you went out there and worked on this, Paul, how did you even know how to start it?
I was very curious about these medicine wheels and these other circular structures, and I had a general idea of what they were all about. But where I started was with this medicine wheel in Wyoming. Where is this geometry coming from, and who built it? And ultimately, I was able to determine, reading through mythologies, and specifically the Lakota tribes mythology on the Great Plains, I realized that when I was reading one of the mythologies, one of the stories, which the Lakota say, these aren't stories, they're not mythology, they're the truth, they're real history. And it turns out that's very much the case, because in one of their mythologies, they describe the sons of the wind. There are four sons of the wind, and they go about around the world, and they set the directions, the cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west, representing the four winds coming from those directions. And it turns out that the mythology is describing precisely the location of the medicine wheel that I found in Wyoming, and it represents the west direction, cardinal direction, for the Lakota world. And reading through the mythology, then it describes where the north direction is, the east and the south, and right in the center is the Lodge of the Wind, which turns out to be Bear Butte, just outside of the Black Hills in South Dakota. So I quickly came to the realization that these circles are very sacred, representing the world, and that they are contain very much the truth, the history, the facts of what the world consists of and how a human being is within it and interacts with it. And so once with that understanding and receiving the blessing from the Lakota people that what I had found was good and that it was time to let the world know about this, I started pursuing other cultures and was finding the very same ideas being expressed in the mythologies and the pictographic symbols, these circular symbols. And there are hundreds and hundreds of these circular symbols, as you can imagine, for all these cultures. But they all end up being these two-dimensional facets, circular facets of a very specific three-dimensional geometrical structure, which is very curious because cultures throughout time and around the world were not in touch with each other via transportation and communication. Presumably, there was no interaction going on between the old world and the new world. Well, we're questioning that now. But if you presume that there wasn't any communication going on there, how could shamans, priests, priestesses over thousands of years be coming up with a symbol that represents us and the universe around us with a geometry that fits the very same specific spherical structure that they do? That was extremely curious, and that was the basis for my first book, The Sacred Sphere, describing that very case, because if there wasn't any communication between these cultures, it's just virtually impossible that all these cultures could be coming up with designs for sacred symbolism that are geometrically the same. So that was the basis of the first book, and why that was the case for these cultures, I still don't know. It's just an amazing fact that we may never solve the answer to explain why they're using the same symbol, basically.
Why do you think they built the structure in the first place?
Which structure?
Stonehenge.
Stonehenge? Stonehenge, if you look at it, again, what I was going to write about is the symbolism of the structure, because once you understand the symbolism, you know what that structure means. In other words, it was meant to be recognized as a sacred structure by anyone who saw it, because all these cult- time and up to that point understood this prehistoric symbolism of the circle. So in the case of Stonehenge, a henge is the ditch and the bank, the circular ditch and bank that is on the periphery of Stonehenge. And then within Stonehenge, there are various circles of stones that have been placed. And so you have circles within circles. So what is being represented there, one can't build a sphere on the earth. They can't build a very large one. The Egyptians couldn't do it, but they built pyramids because they're very stable and represented a sphere. In the case of Stonehenge, they just built the circles and they put in standing stones to represent circles. And so these stones within stones, the circles within circles, are representing various aspects of the universe around us. The largest circle being the ditch and the bank is the universe all around us. It's representing everything that we can see. If we're standing on the Earth's surface and we can see the horizon all the way around us, there's the largest circle. Now we are seeing the cosmic dome above us and Mother Earth below, and there's our sphere, and we're right at that equator, if you will, right on that horizon, right on the surface of the Earth, right in the middle. Then you start moving in closer into the center of Stonehenge. The circles are getting smaller, and you're brought closer to ultimately to what the meaning of life is and the source of life, specifically right at the center. So again, very important to understand that the circle representing a sphere, it concerns the center of that sphere because that's a very unique point. There's no other point within the sphere or on the sphere that is like the very center. It's very unique. But then all the other points around that is representing our environment, whether it's very close to us, whether it's our spouse, our significant other, our family, the town we live in, the world itself, or the universe. So that is what's being represented there very, very simply. If one understands circles as sacred symbols, the sacredness being relationships between you and me, us and the earth, us and the cosmos, or us and the creator, however the culture envisioned the creator, those four sacred relationships are the relationships that are involved in these circular symbols that representing a sphere, representing that individual and the environment around them. So suddenly, it's very simple to understand what Stonehenge is representing and all the other henges that one finds across Britain. They're all representing that same idea, those same sacred relationships.
Do you think the people of that time period, the indigenous people of that time period, knew what these were?
Oh, no doubt. They around the world, people were creating these circular symbols, all representing these sacred relationships and the individual and the universe around them. And the idea was to become knowledgeable, experience as much as you can, very similar to the ideas of Native Americans, the traditional Native Americans, that the reason for life is to experience the world, experience life, and try to understand where it comes from. And so that's what's being expressed by constructing these circular symbols and getting people to recognize who they are and how the world relates to them. They wouldn't be constructing them in this configuration geometrically.
Hold on for a second, Paul. We're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this. We'll take some calls, too, on Coast to Coast AM. Now we're with Paul Burley as we talk about his work on Stonehenge, as above, so below. Hey, have you watched our television show yet, Beyond Belief? You can. It's free for 10 days. Take a look at that. And you've got access, by the way, when you do that, to all the other videos that are out there. So if you want to make this a marathon 10 days, you can do a lot. So simply go to the website, beyondbelief.com, sign up. You will love the guests, and I think you'll really like the show. beyondbelief.com. Paul, in your research, what was for you maybe the most shocking, startling aspect of Stonehenge?
Well, there are a number of things about Stonehenge that archaeologists are just unable to recognize because they're looking at the archaeology and don't understand the symbolism that they are looking at. And once you understand the symbolism, much of the archaeology makes a lot of sense. So what I have discovered doesn't disagree with the archaeology at all. It supports it, and the archaeology supports my findings. The most curious thing about Stonehenge and its environment that I found was I did a lot of analysis of the landscape, and as an engineer, I have experience in surveying, years of surveying. And ultimately, what I discovered was that what was laid in place onto the ground surface at Stonehenge and around it for about 8 square miles is a portion of the cosmic dome laid upon the ground. And this happened about 1,000 years before the stones were placed at Stonehenge, before a henge was placed, the circular ditch and bank at Stonehenge. What they constructed was that area of the sky that includes the Milky Way with the ecliptic or path of the sun crossing it, and with Orion set in, if you think, the bottom right corner of that cross. And in that area, it is bound by 6 stars, which are known. It's an asterism. It's not a constellation because it doesn't represent an animal or a person or and such. It's just referred to as the winter hexagon. And it extends from at the bottom from Sirius to the top, which is the star Capella. And then it includes 4 other stars that are in Gemini and Taurus and Orion and so forth. A very large structure. When you look up in to the east in December and January, it's very prominent. If you find where Orion is, you'll start to see these very bright stars, 6 of them. They're some of the brightest stars in the sky, including Sirius, which is the brightest. And within that is where the ecliptic and the Milky Way is passing through there. Well, that area is recognized by these many Neolithic cultures and other ancient and indigenous cultures as the source of the spirit, where the spirit comes from to join with the body on Earth to create life. And when the body dies, it's placed back into Mother Earth because that's the source of the body. The spirit returns back to that area at the cross right in Orion's right hand, which is reaching right up to that crossing point. That is the womb of the universe, considered to be the womb of the universe. And these people, indigenous people, prehistoric people of Britain, brought that area down and placed it onto the ground surface, very similar to the 3 pyramids in Egypt. But instead of just the 3 belt stars of Orion, they placed the entire winter hexagon onto the ground surface. And this has been unrecognized until now. And to a great degree, I think, because the archaeologists don't appreciate or recognize or have been exposed to this symbolism, which is sacred. The archaeologists refer to the Stonehenge area as a ritual landscape. It's really a sacred landscape because you're bringing in the fact that the spirit is as important as the body. Stonehenge is not a place, it's not a burial place. It's not all about the dead.
How big are the structures, Paul? How tall?
Well, these structures are essentially various henges, including Stonehenge and Woodhenge, and some other henges. It also includes long barrels that are like round mounded structures for burying, but these are long, more cigar-shaped. And then the largest feature at Stonehenge is the cursus, the Stonehenge cursus. And it is basically another sacred structure that is bounded by a ditch and a bank, but it is huge. It's about 1.7 miles long. It's about a football field to football field and a half wide. It's just huge, and most people have no idea that it's there. It's just about 1,000 feet north of Stonehenge, but it's this tremendously large structure. That structure represents the Milky Way from Sirius to the crossing of the ecliptic with the Milky Way, the center of that cross. And if one were standing on the west end of this cursus and looking that 1.7 miles to the east, you would see at the horizon where this crossing point would be on the horizon. And beyond that, straight through for another half mile or so, you come upon Woodhenge. Well, Woodhenge then represents Capella, the top part of this crossing part. The spirit road, the spirit pathway, the path that the pharaoh would take from Egypt to return to the stars and become the next Osiris, that is the path that people would take. The spirit would return back from Earth to this womb of the universe. So it's referred to as the spirit road, the spirit path, so forth. So this cursus is representing that. So at a certain time of the day or night, one would recognize that that cross is about to come right across the east end of the cursus if you're standing on the west end. And as soon as that crossing point is right above the east end of the cursus, Capella would be right above that. And so the spirit would see that pathway back to the stars on the ground surface with the cursus and then up beyond the horizon all the way to Capella. And at that point, that the door is now opened, and the spirit can now return on that pathway back to the stars. So this is completely new here. It's pretty startling to find this, but that's the fact. That's what's going on out there at Stonehenge.
Were these people obsessed with death?
Well, that's interesting. Again, the archaeologists seem to be focused in on death for Stonehenge because they're finding parts of bodies, the ashes, the bones of animals and people and these burial mounds and so forth. But Stonehenge was built not for death. There isn't a single religion or sacred life way, such as Native Americans, that concentrates on death. The great concern of religions is not death, but life and this eternal life and resurrection and reincarnation of life and the spirit continuing on forever. So Stonehenge, as you see it on the ground and in these structures, is certainly associated with death because that's where the body is being returned to, back to Mother Earth, the source of the body. But to a greater extent, it's associated with the spirit, which we can't see. I mean, that's sort of the eternal scientific question. Is there a spirit? And what happens after death? Those questions just can't be answered. And so the scientists aren't recognizing that this is what the real importance of Stonehenge. It was at a time when the body was brought to Stonehenge, some rituals and ceremonies were done, some grieving for the dead, and the body is then returned to Mother Earth, while the spirit now returns back to where it came from, which is back up to the womb of the universe in the winter hexagon. And so they created that womb of the universe on the ground as a reflection of what they saw up on the sky, thus the as above, so below concept. Right. It's very similar to the Egyptian pyramids. So this is the concept is eternal life going on here. Or certainly we have to bury the body, you have to do something with the body, but you're creating that gateway for the spirit to return to where it needs to go back.
Okay, let's go to the calls now for you. First-time caller Vivian in Billings, Montana. Vivian, you're on with us. Hi there.
Hi. I can't believe I got through.
You did. Good for you.
Well, thank you. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I've done a lot of 3D representations of ancient monuments, and I agree with your caller that there is an incredible cohesiveness with ancient cultures, no matter the distances between them or the times between them. But I hope this isn't terribly off topic, but I was wondering if he used any analysis of the pre-Columbian sacred spears in Costa Rica and their placement, if it's the same, if it's, I guess I'm looking for a cohesiveness, if he's done any studies with that.
Yeah, what I did for my previous book is I studied cultures around the world and throughout time, in particular for circular symbols. And again, there's this continuity, this unity of what the circle is representing, as I mentioned before. So when you look at Costa Rica, when you look at Peru with the Incas, when you look at the Mayans and later the Aztecs and so forth, they are all understanding the same area of the sky as the gateway for the spirit to come from to Earth, to join with the body, to become a life or human being, a plant, an ant, a rock.
Something,
on the Earth. And they're all representing these things. So in every case, they're representing those concepts with the circle or geometries that are representing a sphere.
Some people believe that we may have originated from the Sirius star system. Of course, the Dogon tribe claims that they were told of the binary star system out there. What do you think?
Well, I think that that's very similar to what I'm discussing here, because when a person or when the spirit is at the west end of this cursus at Stonehenge and looking at 1.7 miles to the east to where Capella is and the intersection of the Milky Way and the ecliptic, when Capella is right over that east end of the cursus, immediately below you into the Earth and through the other side, one would see Sirius. And so I believe that there was a connection. This is speculation on my part, but it would make great sense here if one is looking geometrically what's going on here. Capella is in front of you, and that means that Sirius is right below you. And so I suspect that what was being envisioned here is below Earth, or standing on Sirius then, is the spirit returning back to where it came from along the Milky Way up to where Capella and this crossing point are. And so when the spirit is coming to Earth to join the body, it is coming from Capella along the Milky Way, backwards along the spirit path, to the point of Sirius, which is below Earth at that point, and so is representing that crossing point from the cosmos onto Earth. So that if you follow me there, I think that may be very similar to this envisioning that our lives came from Sirius, because in that geometry of space and where the Earth is and where Sirius is located relative to Earth along that Milky Way, it becomes that crossing point from Sirius to Earth, and from Earth back onto Sirius and up the Milky Way to Capella. So I suspect that there may be a connection there that hasn't been realized, and it probably deserves more study.
Okay, let's go west of the Rockies. Craig's with us, Astoria, Oregon. Craig, good morning.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Paul, I just want to give you a little heads up on... When you say Lakota Sioux, you're certainly not talking about the Lakota Sioux. You're showing them very little or no respect by saying Lakota. That's not their name. It's Lakota.
I understand that, and I appreciate the change in the pronunciation. They understand what I'm saying, and I'm trying to relay it to people, the general public, so they're understanding who I'm referring to. So I appreciate what you're saying. It does show a lack of respect saying it that way, but unfortunately, the way that we pronounce that word in the English language, American English, is Lakota. So that's the way I'm trying to relay it to people so that you can understand that. I appreciate you bringing that up, because people should understand that there are certain meanings, and look, the word Lakota actually has a particular meaning in the language, and it would be nice for people to understand that as well and appreciate the culture, because these reservations in South Dakota, they're the poorest counties in the United States. These kids that are living there are seeing their mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles kill themselves every day, and just extreme poverty. This Stonehenge book, As Above, So Below, I've dedicated all the monies that are raised through the selling of that book to the children on these reservations to help them. Because they're in such dire need. They need the assistance more than I or anyone
Good
that's listening
you,
to the show,
Good
I'm sure. So the money is going there, and it's also going towards purchasing this area, this medicine wheel out in East Central South Dakota, which represents the east point of their directions, because it's on private land, and I want to get that back to the people who constructed this. In fact, the medicine wheel that I found in Wyoming and the one that is in East Central South Dakota, right in the middle of those two, perfectly, a straight line, is Bear Butte, the center of the Lakota world. And what they had constructed prehistorically, this is before Columbus, they had constructed a perfect circle, the perfect circle and the cross within it, the center point being at Bear Butte. And it's a 550-mile diameter circle, perfectly constructed. I say it's the largest sacred symbol ever constructed on the earth. Just think of this, 550 miles in diameter. And they actually built this, and I can take you out to parts to see it. and no one recognizes that it's there. And to bring back this east direction so that the people could be able to return to it, this is the source of where the sun rises each day. It's very sacred for them. So I intend on getting that back to them by buying just a few acres from a ranch that'll allow the people to return to that point. So I hope people understand that this is, you know, I'm not talking about these things for myself. This is very important for indigenous people, for the ancient people who constructed these structures, and they're very sacred structures, and we should be considering that today.
How many structures like this are there all around the planet, Paul? Are they scattered everywhere?
Well, the megalithic structures, of course, they're scattered all over, and new pyramids are being recognized in new places all of the time. So how many are there? I don't know that anyone knows exactly how many there are. One could probably easily come up with hundreds, if not thousands, because these henges that are found in Britain, there are, and stone circles, there are thousands of such structures in Britain alone. So you start looking at adding in these other megalithic structures, or even a shaman just drawing a circle on the ground surface and putting a cross through it is, you know, boom, you have the very same symbolism being created. It's very small scale, but it is no less sacred than Stonehenge, than the Great Pyramids, than this 550-mile diameter medicine wheel. They all mean the same thing. They're all just as sacred. They should not be desecrated, including going within the confines in them. I should say that at Stonehenge, like these other henges, this became sacred space. Once that circle is drawn, one does not just simply enter into that. That is space that's dedicated for the spirit, for the creator, for that interaction, that communication with something that is greater than us, and the spirit that has come down to us and will return. And so we don't go into that space and desecrate it. That's very important to understand, because that's what these people were creating to stand eternally and represent. And they expected that we would recognize this, and it's just being recognized now.
Paul, stay with us. Coming back with some final calls with you on Coast to Coast AM.